Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In an email I sent out this last week, I shared with you that this week I think I discovered Jesus' favorite word. It might surprise you. I believe Jesus' favorite word, or the one that he used very frequently, was this word. Whoever. Whoever. Now that is an inviting word, whoever. I don't know if you noticed when that word is used, but it's not a word that says some people are in and some people are out. It's an inviting tone. So here are some examples. I want to remind you of these passages. You know them quite well. And I'm just going to give you a list of just a few of these. There are many examples of where Jesus chose specifically this word. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Jesus says, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in the heaven." Jump on down to just a few verses later, Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. Jesus says, "Whoever finds his life will lose it. But if anyone loses their life for my name's sake, they will find it." Skip to the next gospel to see it's not just Matthew's gospel. Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 3, verse 35, Jesus says this, "Whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, my mother." Some more famous passages in the Lutheran church, we love Mark chapter 16, verse 16. It's an invitation. "Whoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Or how about John 3, 16? "For God so loved the world that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Now, are we on the same page? I could have listed about 30 other examples if you do the exegesis, a concordance review. Jesus loved the word whoever. In fact, I'm going to say in my sermon here this morning that he had a whoever policy. John picks up on it here in Luke chapter 3. It occurs twice in the reading that I just had. John says, as he was speaking to people who might have been cringing at what he was saying, and I'll explain that in a second, John was saying, "Whoever has two tunics should give to someone else." And then he goes on to say, "Whoever has who has food should give to somebody else." Whoever is a fantastic word because it bypasses the common divisions that we see in our world today. It bypasses social status. It bypasses gender. It bypasses borders. It bypasses all sorts of divisions around us. But as we think about that word, whoever, and if we're honest about ourselves, I think we struggle with whoever policies because we do like divisions. We do like saying certain people are better than others or vice versa. We say such things as, well, the newcomers versus the old timers, or the old timers versus the newcomers, or boys over girls, or girls over boys, or Jews over Gentiles, or Gentiles over Jews. You name it, we're really good at choosing words that really divide and separate people. We enjoy divisions. That reminds me of a story that I came across a couple months ago that I thought I'd share with you here this morning. The story of the two soccer companies, Puma and Adidas. Maybe you've heard this story before. Does anyone know the history of Puma and Adidas and where they come from? Anybody? Molly? Sweet. I'm in soccer mode now with the girls. It's like I don't know anything about soccer, so I'm reading famous soccer stories. This is a true story. Puma and these companies, Puma and Adidas, so you could buy at any common store, shoe store, actually come from an original company called Geta in Germany that dates back to 1918, a very old company in Germany. And this company is, you can actually find Puma and Adidas in the original city where Geta is from, the original company. It's called Herzogenaurach in Germany. It's a town that has about 7,000 people back in the 1940s. had about 7,000 people. Today it's about 20,000 people. And in this little town, Herzogenaurach, there's a river that cuts the city in half on the north side and the south side, this sort of thing. Back in 1947, one of the brothers of the father who started the parent company, Geta, decided to break out on his own. His name was Adolf. He started Adidas. He took all his employees that he wanted, the best, and that sort of thing. And in 1947, he took the north side of the river. And on the north side of the river, and I'm not exaggerating, everyone wore Adidas clothing and Adidas shoes. No one wore Puma. That wasn't allowed. They built their own libraries, their own parks, their own restaurants. They built all sorts of places only for people that would wear Adidas. A year later, in 1948, the other brother, Rudolf, started his own company and took the south side of the city, which there's still a Puma factory on the south side of the city still to this day. And in that location, that's where everyone wore Puma clothing and Puma shoes. They built their own restaurants, built their own public parks, had their own churches, had their own libraries, and the two would never mix. In fact, both the brothers, Rudolf and Adolf, are buried in the same cemetery in the middle of town, but on opposite ends of the cemetery. Why the animosity? Rumors have it, and there's lots of reasons, lots of conjecture on why this happened. But the one that I kind of hold to is that in 1947, well, during World War II in Germany, Rudolf was asked to serve the Nazis in Germany, while the brother Adolf was allowed to continue distributing shoes, manufacturing shoes with his father, with Geta. And after the war ended, brother Adolf, the rumor goes, turned in his brother Rudolf to the Allies, and he had to serve an extra year prison term because of his allegiance to being a soldier for the Nazi regime. Ever since, the two sides were completely separated. And still to this day, there's a big separation in Herzogenaurach. I don't think, as I share that story with you, I just don't think that Puma or Adidas would really go for a whoever policy. I think the word that people that would follow those two paths, I think they would be going for a whatever policy. See, the word whatever defines and puts boxes on what is acceptable. Whatever part of the city someone comes from, or whatever shoes someone is wearing, or whatever opinion someone has on this topic or that topic. And as John the Baptist comes across too, I want to point this out, the people that he was talking to were very much into a whatever policy. John the Baptist says this, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Do not say that I'm safe because I'm the seed of Abraham. See, these people that John was talking to wanted whatever policies based on their ethnicity to Abraham, based on their commitment to rituals that were happening in the community, based on their opinions. They wanted to define and put a box over God's love and mercy that should be for people. And if we're honest about ourselves, we struggle with whoever policies because we want whatever policies. We want whatever the opinion is that I have to be the right one. We want whatever part of town I live in to be the place where everyone should live. We want whatever I think on a particular topic to be the one that wins out. Whoever is too broad, too inclusive, covers too many people. Then there's this. Okay, Jesus had a whoever policy. Anyone could be in for his forgiveness and mercy and grace. But how about this? Just because he had a policy doesn't mean that Jesus followed through with his policy.